Now let's read together from God's Word in the book of Romans, and we go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll read together from verse 12. Romans chapter 6, reading at verse 12. Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We'll end our reading there at the end of chapter 6, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word. Last time we looked together at the book of Romans, we were looking at those opening verses in Romans chapter 6, where we noted the evidence of a new man in Christ. Paul was calling these believers to the place of self-examination. And of course, that self-examination is one that we all ought to give ourselves from time to time when we sit under the authority of God's word. We noted that the new man in Christ is dead to sin. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is genuinely converted, then something wonderful happens. Salvation is a life-changing experience. Doesn't mean that the Christian is perfect, because he or she will not be perfect until they get to heaven. But what Paul is saying, that when this wonderful transformation has taken place, that the Christian no longer desires to live under the rule or under the dominion of sin. Also, the new man in Christ is alive with Christ. When we come to Jesus Christ, we're alive to him, having been delivered from our sin. That's a deliverance that is present, where we pass from death unto life and enter into newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the great hope of a future deliverance on that day when the Bible says we shall be delivered from the very presence of sin itself. In other words, one day the believer in Christ will have absolute victory, for we'll be taken from this world in which we live, and we're going to be taken home to heaven. And that is absolutely assured because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Tonight, as we come to these verses I've read to you here in Romans 6, I want to ask you a question. Where do you hope to spend eternity? I'm sure all of us have dreams. I can dream as well as the next man. How often have you not sat down and you've watched something, perhaps on the television, of a far-off place, and you've seen it revealed to you in all its beauty, and they're trying to sell it to you, and you're sitting there in the midst of a bad day. It has been difficult for you. Perhaps you're coming out of a bad week. And then you've opened the blinds and you've looked outside and it's pouring down with rain. And then somehow you glance at this lovely picture. It seems bliss. What's your response? Boy, wouldn't it be great if someday we could go to a place like that. And you turn around and say to yourself, boy, I hope so. But you say it in yonder your breath because your wife usually retorts with, I can assure you it'll be so. But you see, what would life be without hope? When we come to this text tonight that God has laid upon my heart in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that means I ask you the question again, where do you hope to spend eternity? This isn't about a short-term break. This isn't about going somewhere to fulfill an ambition. This is not about going somewhere to get us out of the dregs and all the dreads of our daily living. This is about the whole matter of eternity and where we're going to spend it. So where do you hope to spend eternity? I know for many people, when life is rosy and things are going well, they never stop to consider this whole question of eternity, but we need to. You see, as far as Romans 6 is concerned, a number of contrasts have been made which highlight what kind of life that each one of us are living. We're either in Adam or in Christ. We are either a servant of God or a servant of sin. We are either saved or lost, or we're either on our way to heaven. Or we're on our way out to a lost eternity. Because of those serious eternal issues, we need to think about these things. Because after all, if we don't think about them while we're in time, while we live down here, while we have the opportunity, we will never think about them in eternity because it'll be far too late. So we need to consider those things right now. Paul says here there's an enemy that we all need to face. The wages of sin is death. Over this last couple of days, I've spoken to various people, either on the phone or at meetings, who have told me about people that they know who have either died or are dying. They're not old people. In fact, those I've heard about in recent days are much younger than me. But the fact of the matter is this, that death is often brought before us. We have lived in a province for umpteen years before the so-called peace process kicked in, when almost every day of every week in some part of the province, either near you or near me, that a funeral has passed down the road. And we became so used to the fact that people were being killed almost on a daily basis that though we were confronted with the issue of death, somehow it never came home to our hearts that one day this just might be me. And if it is you, and if it is me, where do we hope to spend eternity? Death's a very interesting thing. Of course, the Bible speaks about it in various ways. We know that. It speaks about physical death. You and I know that we will not live forever. You may remember that when we were passing through Romans chapter 5, that we were made aware of the fact that we are all terminally ill. Paul puts it like this in Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So it's appointed. Right now, as you and I sit in this meeting, it is appointed for us. The day will come And it might come sooner than some of us think. The day will come when we're going to have to vacate not just the body we're living in, not just the home that we've been in possibly for umpteen years, not even the family that we've grew up with and loved with all our hearts for so many years. We're going to vacate or leave all of that because we're going to die and we're going to slip out into eternity. The problem of death, of course, is, and I've said this oft times before, that though we might not really consider it, and though we know it's something that we're going to have to face one day, an appointment that we're going to have to keep one day, somehow we just don't concentrate our minds upon it because if it's far away, why bother? Well, man or woman or young person, you don't know when you'll die. You don't know where you'll die. You know absolutely nothing tonight as you sit in this meeting, nothing regarding the circumstances of your death. The only thing that you do know is that you and I are going to have to face it. Physical death. You know, it was just before Christmas in 1987. Just off Manila in the Philippines, an oil tanker ran into a ferry that was crowded with people. They were all making their way home for the Christmas period. The ferry, unfortunately, was operating illegally. Neither vessel had any radios. Neither vessel had life jackets. None of them had any lifeboats. And what was a normal day for people on a daily journey ended in disaster when those boats struck each other, burst into flames, and they sank. And without any warning whatsoever, over 2,000 people lost their lives. And it happened because death came and snatched them away unexpectedly. Of course, the Bible speaks also about spiritual death, doesn't it? Way back in the Garden of Eden in the beginning, where everything was bliss after God had created the world. Remember that God set boundaries for the first man, Adam. God told him what he could and could not do, warned him about the consequences of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said to Adam by way of warning, the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. Of course, Adam didn't die physically that day, did he? Because Adam continued to do as he had always done, though he hid himself from God's presence. But spiritually, his fellowship with God was broken. He no longer enjoyed sweetness. He no longer enjoyed any intimacy whatsoever with his God. The day when sin entered the world, it separated Adam and Eve from God. And spiritually, they're out of fellowship with their Creator. Tonight, without Christ as you sit here, you're in exactly the same place. Physically, you might look great. In fact, I'm sure that often somebody has come up to you and said to you, you know, I haven't seen you for quite a while, but boy, you're looking good. Now, nobody ever says that much to me, but I'm sure they've said it often to you. Never seen you looking so well. And that might be true. Physically, you could be looking well. You've never felt better. But spiritually, that's a different matter, isn't it? You're not a Christian. And spiritually, you are dead. You are separated from God because of your sin. You cannot enjoy fellowship with Him. You're just plodding along a journey in life, thinking more about the physical than you are about the spiritual, without realizing that tonight you're without Christ and you're probably going to die without hope. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus, he said this to them. He said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. They were alive and well physically. They were dead spiritually. And they needed new life. Is that where you are tonight? As you look at yourself and you give this self-examination that I have been encouraging you to do, is that what you are? Physically well, but spiritually dead. You say to me, but Pastor, hold on a moment. That's not really true of my life because I go to church. Doesn't matter whether you go to church or not. Many people tonight go to church and they're spiritually dead. Many people across our province are sitting in meetings like this, but they have no life in Christ. Many people have attended church for umpteen years and did so many things out of good character and conduct for themselves and for the church, and they're out of Christ. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. You sit under the judgment of God. You are spiritually dead. And whilst you may have so many things in life that are so good and priorities as far as you are concerned, the one thing you don't have and the one thing that you desperately need is spiritual life. And only God can give you that. Physical death, spiritual death, but there's also eternal death. When we die physically, that's not the end of our existence. Yes, the body dies, but the soul, the real you and me, that lives forever. Do you know what amazes me? That when I'm sitting in a home at a wake, or perhaps I go and I'm walking at a funeral or standing listening to people who have just listened to the Word of God, sometimes they'll talk about the deceased, the man or the woman who has just gone. And they turn around and they say, great for them to get away, at least it's all over now. Every time I hear that phrase, at least it's all over now, I feel like going over and say to them, excuse me for a moment, do you honestly think that it all ends there at the grave? Do you honestly think that that young man who died in his 30s with cancer, or that young woman in her 40s who drank herself to death, or that man in his 70s who rebelled against God and went out into eternity, do you honestly believe that it's over now? Because it isn't. Oh, life's over. And death has come. And the appointment has been kept. But the reality is that for them, this great eternity is only beginning. That's a harrowing fact, isn't it? Especially if you're here tonight and you're not saved and you've never thought much about death or eternity. Friend, that's a reality that you need to face and face soon. One of these days you might find yourself in eternity. And you'll be gone and gone forever. And you'll be lost. You know, the Bible tells us of an awful day that's yet to come. The scriptures underline the solemnity of that day in Revelation 20, speaking about a great white throne of judgment. Do you know what it says? It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we might have all our own views tonight, and different views regarding the judgment as far as prophecy is concerned. But it doesn't change the fact that there is a day coming when the lost of all the ages will be judged for their sin and cast into the lake of fire, separated from God. Not just for a moment. Not just for a minute. Not even for 60, 70 years that perhaps you have already reached on your journey through life. Not even for that, but for the whole of eternity. The whole of eternity, with no hope of change, with no reprieve. The Bible refers to it as the second death, and you need to grasp the seriousness of it. If you You ever thought of what it would mean to be banished from the presence of God for all eternity? You ever thought of what it would mean to be consumed by God's wrath? Maybe not. But it's time you did. The wages of your sin is death. There's an enemy we all need to face. But I want to remind you here of an exhortation we all need to follow. The gospel's good news. If I was to leave the meeting just here now and said, let's bow together in prayer and go our separate ways, you would turn around and say to me, well, what's all this about God's love? What's this I hear from these churches about God caring about people and about Christ dying for people? If my life is in such a state and in such a mess, I'm facing this great appointment, I'm going to die without Christ and without hope, what hope can you give me, preacher? Well, listen to what Paul says here. There's no reason why any one of us should ever be lost for all of eternity. Here's what he says. He says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful statement that is. You see, there's an alternative to the life that you're living just now in your sin. There is an alternative to the destination that you're heading to because of your sin. There is for you tonight hope in your hopeless state. And there is a way back to God for you and for me from the dark paths of sin that we have found ourselves in. My friend, listen, the wages of sin is death. That's a reality. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What does all of that mean? Can I tell you tonight, as far as this is concerned, this gift, it's a great gift. A great gift. Paul says it is eternal life. Sometimes the Bible speaks about eternal life, sometimes it refers to everlasting life. What it simply means is this. That you and I, turning from our sin and repenting of it, trusting Christ as our Savior, that you and I can enjoy life with Jesus Christ that will last forever. Forever. Now there are not too many things that last forever today. Just recently our washing machine went in the blink for about the eighth time in the last couple of years, and I was tired with it. So we decided it was time to pull it out, push another one in, so we went to look about them. The fellow came over to talk to us, and I said to him, we've had this for quite a while. He said, how long? Oh, I said, it must be 10 years. 10 years? He said, many's a man has put two through in 10 years. He says, sir, do you not realize these aren't built to last? Of course they're not. If they were built to last, the shops would be closed. They're not built to last. In fact, the reality is that there's very little today in life that really lasts. But Paul says that trusting the Lord Jesus Christ means that Christ imparts to us life that really lasts, because it lasts forever. The gift of God is eternal life. Do you not realize, can you not grasp it, that Jesus Christ wants to give you a life tonight that is far greater and far better and far more blessed than the life that you're living just now? But he wants to give you a salvation that will not only satisfy your every longing, but will one day bring you through your journey of life and out through death and into eternity with this great assurance that you're going to spend it in the presence of Christ, and that for the whole of eternity. This gift is a great gift. It's eternal life. It really lasts in a world where nothing lasts. This lasts forever. It's eternal life. But it's not just a great gift. This gift is found in Jesus Christ alone. How many people as we sit in this building just now, how many people are out in various places looking for and longing for something different than that which they already have? By that I mean they're out in the pubs, and they're in the clubs, or they're lying at home in the sunshine with their friends with a table full of alcohol, and all kinds of things are happening all around them, and they're all looking for the same thing. They're looking for real life. They're looking for something that will satisfy. They're looking for something that will take the emptiness out of their lives. But they're all looking in the wrong places. I know it seems simplistic to say this. And young people sitting here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, one of these days, unless you trust Him, you'll join these people and you'll find yourself drinking at the broken cisterns of life. If you want life and you want real life and spiritual life and you want this eternal life, it's in Christ. And it's in Christ alone. Just the other week at the men's breakfast, we listened to Roy Brown share his testimony. And I remember him saying a number of very important things, and I'll not take time to give his testimony again, but he did say one thing. And it really gripped my heart, for he turned around and he said that as a young man of 18, over at Manchester United Football Club, he was brought into the office. And the manager, Tommy Dougherty, said to him, "Roy, you can have football or you can have alcohol, but you've got to make a choice." The young man with the world in front of him turned around and made his choice. For he simply let football go and he went down the road of the bottle. And that's where he stayed for many a year, and in his opinion, too many years, until by the grace of God he was rescued, saved, and set free. Wouldn't it be a tragedy for you to go down the same pathway? And all because you made the wrong choice? When the pastor stood with you and said, "Listen, young person, listen, older person, before you waste your life and before you lose your soul, you have a choice to make. You can have Christ and life that is more abundant. You can go your own way and lose your own soul." Are you saying tonight, "My choice is made, pastor"? But shall you talk about Christ? Many of the prayers that ascend from my mum and dad about my soul, I tell you, pastor, my mind's made up. It's not Christ. That's fine. We live and die by the choices that we make. But I'm telling you here from experience, the day will come. You'll have tried the broken cisterns. And you'll wail deep down in your soul with an emptiness and a dissatisfaction. And you'll realize that you made the wrong choice. And you took the wrong path. And you ended up a lost soul. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a great gift. This is a gift found in Christ and in Christ alone. And this is a gift you need to receive by faith. Isn't that how we receive gifts? I mean, someone doesn't come to your house with a gift and say that, "I took my time to get you this for your birthday. I've it nicely wrapped. There's a lovely wee card inside, so don't empty it out of the bag in case you lose it." That's a gift for you. You don't turn around and say, "Well, how much do I have to give you for that?" Oh, not at all. It's a gift. Thank you very much. And you receive it as it's given. It's a gift. You take it simply and you are thankful for it. You appreciate it. And you tell the folks who give it to you, my, thank you so much. That's what gifts are. You don't earn them. You don't buy them. You don't work for them. They're simply given out of the heart of love that somebody has for you and wants to express that love to you. And you know, out of a heart of love, God sent His Son to be our Savior. Out of a heart of love, He sent Him to the cross at Calvary to die for our sins. And out of a heart of love, even though we have proved to be so rebellious and so unworthy, so ungrateful, even at times arrogant in God's sight, still out of a heart of love, He extends to us this wonderful salvation. And when He does, we shouldn't throw it back in His face as if it doesn't matter. We shouldn't reject it as if we know something better. We should fall on our knees with gratitude and look into the face of a merciful God and say to Him, thank you for providing salvation for me. This is a great gift. It's found in Christ, but absolutely meaningless if you have no interest in it. You know, an old man was dying. And as he faced his last enemy, death, he asked his doctor, who was a Christian, to tell him something about the place where he was going to. The doctor simply said to him, well, where is it that you are going? Are you trusting in Christ? He said, I am. And as the doctor fumbled for words to answer the man's question, he heard something scratching at the bedroom door. Do you hear that? The doctor asked the old dying man. Yes, I do. He said, that's my dog. I left him downstairs when I came to visit you today, but when he hears my voice, he becomes very impatient and he comes for me. He has absolutely no notion what's inside the door, but it's enough for him to know that I'm there. And he turned round to the old man and he said to him in his dying breath, sir, it's the same with you. You're facing the last enemy. You might not know what lies beyond that door, nor you might not understand it. But you can die knowing that your master is already there. When you die, and when I die, do you know where you'll be? I ask you just in closing, just in the same way as I commenced tonight, where do you hope to spend eternity? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I hope you'll receive His gift by faith, that the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. And then when you close your eyes in death, you'll understand what it means to open up your eyes in heaven and to be with Christ, and that for the whole of eternity. The wages of sin, death. The gift of God, eternal life. I wonder what choice you'll make. this evening. Let's pray. Father, maybe as we sit in your presence just now, some have made their choice already. As far as Christ is concerned, they don't want him. They won't follow him. They will not come to him that they might have life. Would you speak to hearts, we pray? Change their minds and turn them around that they might find in Christ everything that they need. We bless you for the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you that because of him, because of our faith in his finished work, that many of us are living and dying with the knowledge that heaven is our home. Father, grant that all of us here tonight might know that with absolute assurance and be able to say it's well with my soul. We pray, our Father, that you will continue to speak to us long after our meeting concludes, that we might consider where we hope to spend eternity. And we pray in Jesus' name.